Oh, jeez.
Alrighty, and we're live.
And we are live.
Nice.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 142 of Live at the Hive Digital Marketing from the Trenches. I'm Dan Nadelko.
Producer Matt Sfinich.
And I'm Matej Cherlenko, graphic designer.
That's not right. I think you're a little bit more than a graphic designer these days.
Yeah.
You're pretty 360 digital marketer, my friend.
Yeah, I can say that.
All right. So today we are going to talk about something that comes up quite often, which is really stems from the idea that I think quite often people confuse strategies and tactics in the world of marketing. Mm-hmm. And one of the most dangerous things that marketers can do is just go tactic, go. Just keep, spraying bullets wildly. And so what we're going to put together today is walk you all through a really effectively a three-step process from the highest level so that you can create a marketing strategy and then tactics that appeal to your actual core audience, speaks to them, and then how you can then map that into tactics and then be able to measure it. So it's a little bit of a process, but we're gonna kind of walk you through that entire process.
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot that goes into that for sure. And as always, we'll try and cover as much of the key elements and points and talking points as possible. But feel free, and we encourage you to go through the articles that the bees are going to be posting in the chat, just for some light reading over your Friday or weekend or whatever.
Well, hey, the nice thing about this stuff is you can listen to us at work, right?
Yeah.
Check out the articles, and then it's you're doing your job. Because you're talking about this process.
It's like doing a weekly webinar almost.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same thing. It's very, very similar, that's for sure. A couple of things to just talk about, I think, a little bit before we get going. Big news in the world of marketing. Instagram Reels, which I have my own opinion.
I have your tweet up
here. No one really cares about on Twitter. I get very little engagement. I do get engagement when I talk directly to people, but I think the hot take on this, Reels is a big deal for sure. A couple of things. One, it's definitely a complete copy of TikTok.
Yep.
You know, like literally you put them side by side. It's a bit ridiculous. So I'm not quite sure how I'm sure Microsoft will get away with it, or Microsoft Facebook, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest thing is when I was trying to get to Reels when it was released, the user experience is just a dog's breakfast on Instagram.
Oh, is it, eh?
At least for me, it is. I mean, I think you get trained into how to access various things, right? It did require an update and a hard restart of the app in order to get it. But I really feel like one of the problems with Instagram, and I think this is going to be a big problem going forward, is it's the photo sharing app, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that the founders ended up leaving because this habit of Facebook just jamming more stuff into that app, right? Like
TV, videos. Oh, yeah. Like they have IGTV now in there. They have their stories in there. It's pretty jet-packed full, right? So,
yeah. I don't know. It's one of those things that I think one of the things that makes TikTok popular is it's relatively a simple app, right? Yeah. It's not super overdone. Kind of do one thing and do it well and then move on. Mm-hmm. I really do think that Reels should have been a standalone app.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, one of the things that when Facebook came out and announced it, they said it's going to have a discovery algorithm associated with it. Another thing that makes TikTok hugely popular was the fact that you could, and look, this is how they hook you with social media algorithms, right? Mm-hmm. Regardless of how popular you are, the discoverability can be massive. You can have like no followers. They'll put you in the For You feed, match you up, and you can get thousands and tens of thousands, sometimes in some cases, hundreds of thousands of views, which then is that little bit of a hook, and then people want more, so they create more content. Right? That's
for sure.
Just very big social media strategy. That I mean, even Facebook at one time did that.
Yep.
Right? I'm a little skeptical to see. I mean, Selena Gomez had the number one reel. Okay, but that's Selena Gomez, right?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. There's probably an inner deal going on there where to try to get as many celebs to kind of post them. But yeah, like I think there's definitely, I mean, like there's a place for the content from, you know, TikTok, Vine, for sure. I think people are trying too hard to fill that void now that TikTok is being banned, for sure.
Well, that's the other side of the big part of the news. So there's a couple of things. So the president today just signed the executive order that they have 45 days, Tencent and ByteDance.
Yep.
Yeah. So if anyone is knowledgeable about this, Tencent's a massive company. Tencent owns
pretty much the gaming industry, pretty much.
Yeah. Pretty much. They own 40% of Epic Games. They own 100% of Riot Games, so League of Legends. And the list goes on. There's a huge, gigantic list. Yeah. Can we pop up? Let's pop up Andrew's comment there. He spent some time on Reels today, and the algorithm is nowhere near as good. Exactly. Kept showing me celebrity stuff, which I don't care about. Yeah. Exactly, Andrew. Like, and I think the thing about Instagram in a press release coming out and saying, well, we've got a new discovery algorithm, but the algorithm is the algorithm on Insta. I don't think it's gated across a feature, which is what Reels is. So it's the same algorithm.
Yep.
Right. So it's a bit of a kind of rang hollow,
For sure.
You know, and yeah, like I think again, you know, Andrew made a really good point there too, is a lot of people like going on TikTok because they're discovering regular people doing weird things.
Yeah.
Right? There's the one canine officer from, I think he's in like just outside Toronto, might be Belleville or something. Mm-hmm. And he does, him and his dog, right? They do all sorts of stuff.
Yep.
It's really actually very entertaining. Now, having said that, you know, there's some sketchy stuff. I've actually got a tweet about it too. TikTok actually installs a silent firewall that can be activated at any time, which means they can funnel your data from your entire phone anywhere that they want without your knowledge. That's a little concerning.
Just a little bit.
You know, they're all stealing data and everything else, for sure. That's, we're the product. This is going to be interesting to see how this plays out. Will Microsoft buy TikTok and own TikTok? You know, then how does that change? How is Reels going to fare against TikTok in terms of popularity? Yep. I was really, like I said, I was pretty disappointed in the fact that I thought Reels could have been and should have been a standalone app, and maybe Facebook would try something completely new with a new algorithm that wasn't so heavily weighted.
Just getting too much. Yeah. Just getting too much. Mm-hmm. They need to settle it down for sure.
Yeah.
All right, not to go down that rabbit hole, but that's really big news.
Yep, absolutely, for sure. It's the death of a social platform, right? So it's definitely big news, well, for sure.
You know, TBD, right? Yeah. TBD. What I would suggest if you're in marketing or if you're a creator and you're doing this, I wouldn't give up on your TikTok strategy just yet. If you're there and you're using that platform, I would continue to move forward with it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the danger of TikTok actually being shut down and is the president would actually mobilize a very large block of voters.
Yeah.
A very real thing.
Yeah. For sure. Do you think that it's, it'll probably still be available in the Canadian App Store though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, this has nothing to do with us.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're a Canadian TikToker, TikTok away.
Go to town.
Andrew's saying Reels definitely should have been standalone. They're trying too hard to continue making IG the in thing. It's true. Yeah. And the thing is with these apps from a user perspective is the simpler the app, usually the more effective. Like if you, like in a sense, like look at Twitter, for example. Not that they make any money, because they don't, but they're hugely popular. Mm-hmm. And Twitter is really kind of stuck to a lot of its basic roots, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think jamming more things into an app creates a serious sense of confusion. Mm-hmm. It turns people off. Like, how many features am I going to, you know, use in this thing? And I think simplicity would win. I'm not quite sure. They're obviously not unintelligent people over at Facebook, but it just seems like Facebook itself. Mm-hmm. Is such a bunch of things now, right? Facebook gaming.
It's like, overwhelming. It really is. Even to go find some stuff, like I know some days, even when I'm trying to look for things for work and stuff, it's like I'm digging through tabs. I'm digging through different, like, you know, like pull down menus and stuff. And then one week, like they totally switched the UI of something. It's like, holy geez, like slow down. You're pushing more people away than you are like improving your platform.
Well, yeah, exactly.
I haven't been on Facebook in a while, but I opened it up recently and that update where it looks totally different, everything's jammed in. I don't know where anything is. That's just from one update. I don't know where anything is. Yep, I spent a good half hour like clicking through, just clicking random tabs. I'm like, this doesn't look familiar at all. I don't know where I am right now.
And it's pretty ubiquitous. That was a very big update that they did just recently on the desktop.
I thought my Facebook broke.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how many people are, well, I'm sure some people do use it on the desktop. I typically would just for work, right? Mm-hmm. But for other usage, it's almost exclusively mobile. Cool. So there's that.
Anyway,
so let's dive right in. Let's talk about the three pillars of building a brand. You know, online is everything. So we're just building brands, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think the one cool thing, we got a bunch of articles, but one of my favorites is a saying that Jeff Bezos said about branding, which is, your brand is what people say about you when you're not in the room.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? And I think that's that's like an important distinction. Quite often what we'll see is people want to build a brand in a couple of months, and it doesn't really work that way. Mm-hmm. It's not a thing you do. It's like, we built the brand, folks.
Yeah. Good job. Well done. Yeah.
It's done. It's never done. Right? Your brand is your personality of your business, which is the people and things. So we're going to talk about how to build, but starting with the first step, which I think people are like, let's do the marketing strategy. Let's go.
Yeah.
And the first most important thing is researching and learning. It starts with, there's one, how to find and target your social. So how to find your and target your social media audience in this, for example, but you have to know who those people are, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe we can start with the persona. And
let's dive into the persona. So we have one here. Let me see if I can view it here. Second. If I go full screen, it'll probably. But I think everyone can see that right now on their screens. Mm-hmm. Cool. So there's a lot going on in terms of, you know, visuals, but honestly, it really dives into hard specifics on these people that you're trying to target and getting an idea of who you want to target. Mm-hmm. So for example, this one kind of dives into, with all personas, like a really good brief on the person, along with a quote. But it also kind of dives into their activities. Like, what are they doing when they're not at work? What are they doing when maybe they're not with family, when they have one-on-one time to themselves, right?
Yep.
What's their technical knowledge? How much experience do they have within their industry or with technology in general, right? Do they learn things quickly? What are their drivers, their goals and pain points? So really, this is just the beginning. We can dive really deep into a persona, but at a very high level, this is what I would suggest people look for when they're creating them.
Yeah, and really what a persona is an amalgamation of a whole bunch of actual people. Yeah. And really starting with the statement of belief. So for example, in James's case, we're doing a persona of a chief operating officer. Let's see here. Yeah, his statement of belief is kind of mixed in here. I know what to look for in contracts when negotiating an agreement. I want to focus on the outcomes rather than repeatedly combing through documents. I don't like it when terms are added or changed. Mm-hmm. So this was for a document scanning type of AI app, SaaS product. Takes time to identify issues. My decisions have a huge impact on the success or failure of the company. And then down below, we have his driver's goals and his pain points. Mm-hmm. And this particular one, this is several years old. But this one took a decent amount of time to put together. It's not just a matter of just kind of assuming things. It's actually going and speaking to chief operating officers. What do they, right? What do they go through? And as you start to speak to those people can be your customers. There's lots of ways that you can actually determine this stuff. And as you go through this process, you really start to learn and understand a whole lot more about what those people are doing. And so the research side is the stuff that should be done thoughtfully, right?
Yeah, really get into their heads, right? Like we keep giving the example of, say you want to, you know, target somebody in tech, right? Well, what does it look like when that person is at home, right? Are they going out doing sporting events and things like that? Probably not. They're not out shopping. They do their shopping online from home, right? They're on their phones, you're either playing video games, they're reading tech articles, consuming tech videos, right? So it's really all about like getting into their head, seeing what their day-to-day access is like, and taking a step back from that for sure.
Yeah, 100%. And then, you know, some of the things, how do you do this? You can email your leads or your customers. Every time they place an order, have an automation that asks for their feedback and ask them different types of questions and keep that part of the iterative process. Mm-hmm. Customer service, your sales team, mm-hmm. all of these people within an organization are the ones that know this stuff intuitively, especially sales and customer support. Right, they hear all the frustrations on the customer support side, for example, so you can tap into that knowledge.
For sure.
So starts with that. So really take that time to understand. Then the second part of that persona development is then understanding where do these people interact online, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's probably several types of websites. There's several, you know, are they on social? Do they interact more on LinkedIn? How do they interact on LinkedIn? Where are they? What kind of apps do they use on their mobile devices, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. As an example, when we were targeting IT professionals and software developers, one of the things that we found was that on their mobile devices, by and large, they use, it's a free VPN app, and we're able to advertise on that specifically. So we're not targeting them when they're at work. We're actually targeting them when they're using their free VPN. Mm-hmm. And we had great, like really great performance because we were sending the right message to that person, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, for sure. I think the Hootsuite article, it talks more about kind of social listening with hashtags and things like that. And I think that's pretty specific in terms of promoting their platform. But definitely I would say social listening is the number one way that you can kind of tell where people are lying, right? For example, any pain points or anything that people might have with products, I would definitely go check Twitter for sure. Twitter is probably one of the number one places that people are going to go and complain about either brand or product, right?
So Matt, can you pull up SparkToro?
Yep, for sure.
.com. Yep. This is Rand Fishkin's latest project. I think he's been working on it for quite some time. It's a startup. This is actually a very cool way to do research. Now, you've got some plans here. It's not particularly cheap. It's actually not bad. Mm-hmm. You know, it's definitely up there at $225 a month or $450 a month or $112. Sorry, I did that totally out of order. But there's a free tier as well. And I think if you look at this, this is ingenious, right? So where are your audience reading, watching? What do they listen to? Who do they follow? What kind of podcasts do they listen to? It's a great example, right? Mm-hmm. You know, do they, you know, if you can identify that, then you can develop relationships and build your community. And if you're where your community is and you're behaving like part of that community, then you're winning, right? Mm-hmm. And you're building mm-hmm. your brand. So that's like the first step. So definitely shout out to SparkToro. Definitely give that a shot. You got a free, it's got a free version that even if it's your budget limited, you can at least give it a shot and get some ideas. Yep. And the other thing that I really like about SparkToro, what Rand talks about, it was, I think, a series of tweets or something, is he's totally good with you using it for a month and then canceling it. Because you may only need it for a limited amount of time.
Sure. Yeah.
Now, I would say that you could probably continue that forward, right? Mm-hmm. And as an agency, for example, it's very useful. So that's step one. Step one is really understanding that audience. So hopefully some of these tools have been useful. Mm-hmm. And then step two is now develop your marketing strategy. And this has always been a thing. Can you bring up that Google search? Like while we were talking before, I was actually laughing.
Oh, the marketing, marketing strategy examples?
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay.
Okay. Result number one. This killed me. 10 of the best marketing strategy examples. Can you scroll up,
Matt? Oh, yep. This guy right here?
Nope. Oh. Well, you get a different search result. Hold on.
I think it's this one right here. The
That's it. That's, yeah. Nothing in here is a strategy. Everything. Yep. And I won't like not calling out the wire group, but it's very common that these are not strategies. These mm-hmm. are channels of content.
Yep.
Right? Yep. So I think the one thing that's very important is understanding what a strategy is and mm-hmm. what it is not.
Mm-hmm. Right? For sure.
Yep. Strategies are not tactics, and tactics aren't strategies. And I've actually got a format. I'll dig it up somewhere for a strategic plan where you actually number your strategies, right?
Okay.
A strategy, we can maybe pull up the other article. That might be good. Where it's some great examples. One of my favorites, and I think, Matt, you were saying too, is GoPro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Their marketing strategy is the content is what makes everything, not the camera, right? The camera has features mm-hmm. and stuff, and you yeah. see it everywhere with them, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So user-generated content is a big thing for them, but it's their content and the community, the content that the community creates using that yeah. is what they feature in all their advertising. That's their strategy.
Yeah, it's the stories that their customers tell, right? They mm-hmm. and they share the stories. They're incredible stories. I know you've seen them, like the Saving the Kitten, right? The Golden Eagle yep. POV flight. But also, like, I think it's really good to relate to Red Bull. I think there's a really good video on YouTube right now where it breaks down Red Bull's marketing strategy and how they actually put very little money into developing their product, but all their marketing is all their money is spent into marketing, right? So mm-hmm. Marketing events, not even marketing their product, but just marketing their name, right? Well, their sponsorships.
The guy's name, I thought his name is Felix, the guy that did the free fall from space.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Like, yep. That's their investment, right?
Exactly.
And I mean, the X Games, right? That was a big one. Mm-hmm. Video game streamers and relationships across the board, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
Monster Energy is quite similar to that as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And again, I think it's, you know, if we look at, say, Nike, Nike has always had this, it's embraced popular culture. And now they've taken, obviously, a much more political stance in terms of that's what, you know, that's something that they speak to a lot.
Yeah.
And it's definitely, I would say Nike is an incredibly sophisticated brand in terms of how they do it. Like, I don't know, can anybody tell me? I'm sure there's some like Michael Jordans and stuff like that, but
yeah.
they don't, like, what's the shoe name? What's the feature? Like, they don't yeah. talk about that at all.
Yeah, unless you're the quote unquote shoe head, right? That no one's, mm-hmm. the majority of people aren't going to know the latest brand of shoe that's out there. However, yeah. people are going to know the latest ad campaign that they've run where people are exercising, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't necessarily promote a single shoe or a single product. So,
and one of the other things I really love about their strategy is the last point there is that marketing is aligned with every department in their company, in their organization,
mm-hmm.
right? That's super important that marketing is not just some silo that sits out here, but works together with everybody within the organization, in particular sales. This is one of the most powerful combinations.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. For sure.
So again, thinking about, you know, some examples of strategy are embracing user generated content, and content is the thing that will allow us to create a community around our product. Like, that's a strategy. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's one, you know, and you develop several of these.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third part is now you can look at the research you've got. Where are these people that mm-hmm. I'm trying to really kind of build a connection with? How do I connect with them in the places that they are, that they're interacting with? Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Maybe your audience, like, is in the world of video gaming, for example, Reddit would be huge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
For
that's,
sure.
That's a channel. Mm-hmm. Then the question is, okay, I got my strategy. Now you have to tactically execute that.
Yep.
In a way that achieves the strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As you start this mapping process, strategy A and then tactic tactic one, A1, right? So you know, you know, it goes towards. Yeah, I did a podcast a long time about mapping your tactics to your strategies. When you're able to map those tactics to your strategy, then you can start to measure performance, the results, and you get into this kind of iteration cycle, right?
Yeah,
it's just a podcast. There's no transcript on that one.
Yep, but for sure.
That's my podcast I used to do from my car, and I never quite got the audio quality to the greatest. But anyhow, it's I think there's some good content in that one. Sure. All right, so
I think we can also dive into where is this? Chad had a good one here. It was these three questions, I believe. Let me see here. Yep. So it's this one. So this article, there's a lot in this. This is from the Marketing Institute, but it directly relates to this step right here. And I think the last time, the last point that we were talking about is kind of why you need the market, the content strategy, right? And that's a little bit about the Nike, GoPro, things like that, why it's critical. But then it also goes into like what goes into that strategy, right? Like, yeah. It talks about your preferred business model, your goal, your audience personas, which we talked about earlier, but also differentiated editorial mission. So that's more of like your company's unique perspective. So that would be like Nike, for example, taking political stances and things, right?
Yeah, and then, absolutely.
Yep. And then, but also purpose too, right? So it talks a little bit about brand awareness, audience engagement, website traffic. And I think this is like a good way to break down, you know, this is an older document that we've pulled up, but this is talking about kind of like really hard facts about coffee drinkers, getting into their heads, when they drink it, how they drink it. It's very detailed, right?
Well, and these are the things that, you know, they're good facts.
Yeah.
Right. And when you understand the passion that people have for coffee, and you can develop your messaging to appeal to them. What do they care about? Right. Mm-hmm. Do they care about, you know, passion coffee drinkers are, you know, they, some of them will never go to Starbucks. Will never go to Tim Hortons.
For right? sure. Yeah. I would argue that with passion, coffee drinkers as a demographic is very unique, because in a lot of ways, like being passionate about coffee too is part of a lifestyle, right? Like people will walk out of their way on their way to work to go to their favorite coffee shop, get their favorite coffee, say hi to their favorite barista or whatever, take a couple seconds to themselves, right? So it becomes much more part of their lifestyle. And I think that's a very unique perspective in terms of like an industry or a product.
For sure it is. It absolutely is. And again, by understanding these patterns and what drives these people, and then you can craft the right message that means something to them. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. That's a really great example. There's the other article. I think it was, Charlie said that.com.
Yep.
He's got a good little meme.
Let's get this here. Okay, I got it here. Yep.
Yeah. So strategy, surprise, attack, tactic, jump like crazy, throw spear very hard. Right? Yeah. One is what you're doing, and the why, and the other thing is how you do it. Right? Yeah. So these are important lessons, because quite often what we do see is the confusion of tactics. Mm-hmm. As opposed to a strategy. The problem is if you have the tactics, I mean, you're just spraying bullets. You're guessing, right? And you can waste a lot of time and money. Matej, you had some examples of, you know, you're doing a lot of work on Pinterest these days, right?
Yeah. And for this specific client, what we do, some recommendations for the account that we're working on, is paying attention to the audience, really, really monitoring what they're looking for, what pain points they have in relation to your product, most importantly. Mm-hmm. So a great example would be say your product provides a certain service, obviously, mm-hmm. but there are certain things around your household that kind of relate to that product. Mm-hmm. So what you can do is address those pain points. So what I've been doing on Pinterest is I kind of pay attention.
Yeah, I'm going to try.
Yeah, I've been paying attention more to the behavior of the audience, not because you can easily create content and just shoot it out and be like, oh, it's the end of summertime. What can we do to, you know, what kind of content can we make? But mm-hmm. a great example is I think it was Canada Day weekend. I was monitoring the audience and I saw that the audience was looking and researching different ways of cooking on the barbecue, different recipes to do on the barbecue. So quickly I went, I made a mock-up of a graphic, got it approved, pinned it out. That one did, it outperformed the other pins that I pinned mm-hmm. in relation to the product and the audience than all the other ones that I've done so far. So this one that I made on the go, kind of monitoring the behavior of the audience, changing the strategy, it did a lot more, it outperformed. And then again, it just speaks to paying attention to your audience again.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Monitoring the things they're looking at, their behavior as well, just getting into their mind, kind of, you can easily push your product, but I don't know, just addressing those pain points that kind of go along with it.
For sure. And I mean, on that particular project, we've done a substantial amount of market research work with the customer service division. So we get a lot of really good insights into understanding what drives these people, right? And what mm-hmm. you know, it's faucets and things like that. So it's a big part of everyone's life. And I think one of the things that we pivoted on a long time ago was there is a faucet, it is a thing. Right. Just like there is an iPod, it is a thing. There is an iPhone, it is a thing. And there's several things that make those up, the different versions and different models. Fundamentally, this is about things like cleanliness. It's mm-hmm. about relaxation. It's about sustaining your own life, cooking, mm-hmm. food. And then you think about that and you go, okay, so what are some of those things that's the why is what's driving people? Could be its design, its functionality.
Yeah.
But again, the purchasing decision happens elsewhere. So what our job is to connect with a community and have that community say, you guys are putting out content that's useful for me. Your recipe is a great example. It's a simple one. I think the takeaway from that, if you even just throw up some of those tactics, because there's a solid strategy and a solid understanding of the market, these tactics can come and they can go, right?
Yep.
And you don't have to be too married to them because some will work better than others will work.
For sure. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. As long as if they're achieving the strategic goal, then they stay. If they don't, they pivot or they go. And you just, mm-hmm. you kind of get into this cycle of being okay with that, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah, sure.
you know, as opposed to saying, but this is how I do my pins.
Yes,
you see this repetitive, right? You can
For sure. And then also seeing the audience, the way they interact with it, you can tell, especially on Pinterest, mm-hmm. when your audience is kind of getting tired of certain content that you're continuously pinning.
Yeah.
But then again, how you said in how your product, you can have your product, you can have all these cool little features, mm-hmm. but if you don't highlight within your tactics to outline things that it's related to in people's lifestyle, like cooking,
even
bathing your dog, again with the faucet, bathing your dog, mm-hmm. Cooking, updating your, you know, the design of your house. There's so many things in relation to that one product that you can play off of.
Yeah.
And, a lot more things that you can, just like to monitor the behavior of your audience, mm-hmm. see what they're looking at, see what pain points they have, and then tying that in, merging that with your tactics, and then again, going further with the strategy that you're putting in place and engaging your audience with certain pins.
Totally. And it's a good point because this is a cyclical process. The more that mm-hmm. you go through this, as you develop that relationship with the community, you learn more about that community and you get more feedback. That's the beauty of social, mm-hmm. right? You know, mm-hmm. back in the day when it was just television, you run an ad and I guess it would be like a Nielsen rating. Yeah. I guess it kind of worked, but you don't really know because it's a very one-way medium.
Yeah.
Through interactions and comments and, you know, the pins and you get lots and lots and lots of feedback from people on what they enjoy as that content, whether it's useful, whether it's beneficial. And with that one same client, I think on that one project that you're referring to, Matei, I think the other interesting thing is because we've developed a community over a period of time, that community speaks to us when they have, you know, I can't install my faucet, something's wrong, right? So they feel that comfort level that they can also speak to that. And that's a that's a really big signal that if you're seeing that kind of engagement, that that you're resonating with those individuals. And that's a absolutely important thing.
Yeah. And, and also there's a time for like updating your tactics and your strategy, but also keeping in mind what your audience, what they're up to as well. Because right now TikTok is all the rage. It's obviously a lot of people are trying to adapt to it. Even with Pinterest, we started adapting it to the Pinterest cycle, and it's been doing very well. And then again, using it because people started again paying attention to your audience. They started hashtagging that certain product that I'm working on through the Pinterest account, and then just going in there asking them, "Can I share this?" Boom. Right there, just that interaction, you've already kind of added to the community under your product. And then making a video out of it, it's a TikTok. People that follow that person is going to trickle down into your brand. And then again, it makes your product more than just a product.
Yep.
It builds that brand persona, that brand authority, kind of that culture as well behind it. Like when you think of Starbucks, you automatically, you get that nostalgia. There's like a feeling with drinking the coffee, buying the products, like even walking into one of their locations as well. There's that persona that.
Well, I know that in part of their strategy has always been is that a Starbucks location is a place where you want people to hang out. We want that to be your second off. Now that's a strategy. Mm-hmm. The strategy is we're not kicking people out. Which was very opposite of a lot of larger chains. So you see people that like literally will work in a Starbucks for an entire day and buy like six different $5 coffees.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Yep.
But it's a really great example. I think the other defining point is, and Matei, you coming from a design background, is quite often I think brand is confused with the graphic design, the visual design, and the visual language. And it's important. That's a critical part of the process, but it's only the tip of the iceberg, especially these days, right? Where it's a lot different in terms of how you develop. So we get to this point, right? Now we're in tactic land. Now there's a couple of ways, and we've got a framework that we use called See, Think, Do, Care.
Yep.
Now you're at a point where you can start to create a mapping that helps foster this type of behavior, as in particular with paid advertising campaigns and programs, is how you then can use various channels to, one, get people to just know who you are, that basic knowledge, right? Oh, and I recognize you, and you've given me lots of good advice and on that. So in the think side of things is whether it's useful down, like we do this all the time. It's a strategy that I think is incredibly important, is create high value content, high perceived value content. Was it last week that I told the story about Japan Camera, the frames? I can't remember.
I think it was. Yeah.
I don't need to retell it because I'm pushing 50. So, so the idea being that high perceived value, it may be simple, but if it's valuable, first time home buyer checklist, it's valuable for people that are buying it for the first time because there's a lot going on there. And then giving all of that content out for free, make it valuable. Gary Vee does this very well. HubSpot does it very well. I mean, even if you've seen some of the HubSpot templates, they're incredibly simple, but for the audience they're trying to appeal to, it's exactly what that person may need to get started, right?
For sure.
And then on the do side of things is, okay, you know, we've given you a bunch of stuff, we've developed a relationship, and this is where we start to see things like 30, 40, 50, 60% open rates in email campaigns, and that's a really great indicator, right? When you get those levels of open rates and interaction rates, you know you're on to something, and you can develop this kind of consistent cadence to that. As long as your information is telling a story, it's helpful to your audience, you become a resource rather than a nag.
Yep.
Right? And you start to develop that brand personality out of that. And then the last stage of it, and this is, again, this is all comes from this mapping that we started, you know, right up at the top with the research and listening. The last one is the care side, which I think is the most important. If you care about your community and you care about your customers and you genuinely care about them, right? I always like to use the example of two companies that I don't think do a very good job, although I've had moments of glimmers of hope for both, are Bell and Rogers here in Canada. They tend to just chronically look at their existing customers as after the fact, and they're really focused on the new customers coming in. You know, the reality is that they've got 39 million people to tap from. There's really two of them, whichever way you slice it. They're only two. But on the care side of things, I'll give you an example. Yesterday, I've got a Rogers Home system with these cameras, right? And the cameras went down. I spent an hour and a half on the phone with a really good tech support. Like, I think it was like level three or something like that. And literally fixed the whole system. And I appreciated that. And he's like, well, I can just stay on the line and just hold while you reboot this thing. And it takes like 3 minutes, right? That's on the care side of things, are doing things like that for your existing customers, right? And not, and always treating them as if they're part of a family within your brand. You know, Red Bull is very cultish. Apple can be very cultish. They're part of this family, right? And that's when you know. And again, I think you can do very simple. You can build a brand very simply that's appropriate for your business. Right-sized, right? I know Matt from Coast to Coast Coffee. He's developed a fantastic brand, you know, on the fly. And it really reflects his personality. He's a huge coffee lover, so he takes firm stances on things. And then that, but that comes through in everything he does. And what we do with him is we just help him magnify it and just execute, right? And so you can do this from the smallest of businesses to the biggest of businesses. I think at certain points it becomes more difficult and unwieldy the larger the company is. It's just true. It's just a reality of life, I guess. All right. Well, here we are, 5 o'clock on a Friday.
There we go.
I think we nailed it.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know who's going to be on the live next week. Producer Matt's on vacay, so see. It might be. I think you guys might get April on here. I don't know. April's probably like, "Why didn't you say me?"
We'll throw Stacy in just to just to give get her more confused because she's been awful week. Up in some very remote cottage.
I have a, I think we're, I'm going up to Mattawa today. So I don't know if you guys know where Mattawa is, up by North Bay. So it's about a 5 hour drive. So we're going to be there probably around 11 o'clock tonight, but,
we are picking a perfect time to go Friday afternoon, going up north on an August long weekend. That, that shouldn't be busy at all.
Right. So it'll be interesting.
You can fly up that way. What I usually do when I do that is I try to leave at like 11 in the morning if possible, or some off time. And I've managed to get up there driving the speed limit, of course, in 3.5 But you get stuck on that 400 corridor, goodbye.
Oh, I'm taking 407 all the way up to 400. I'm going to take 407 as far up as I can go.
And then, but you get to Oro Medante and like that's it. It's like two lanes. Well, even up into Barrie, right?
I know.
It's a mess. It can be a mess.
And then algorithm maps are my best friend. That's all I'm saying. Well, that's, they really work.
You could do Highway 7. Look, one time I was driving on the 400, literally a tractor trailer exploded like probably about 20 cars ahead of me.
Jesus.
Like up in flames, like just crazy. And yeah, that was a fun 6.5 hours of not moving.
Oh, God.
Because they had to just shut it right down, and it was literally too close to
get out and walk at that point. Good luck.
Pretty much. All right, everyone. Well, Matt, enjoy your vacation. Get yourself rested up.
Yep, for sure.
And we will see you next week, everyone, for episode 143.
143.
Have a great weekend.
Bye.
See you guys.